There's nothing like pain to that has helped me recognize the value of this training, training the mind, being aware, present, seeing the attitudes that come up. I think the one thing that I learned, one thing that stands out for me most over this experience of the last several weeks is how, and this is not natural for everybody, but we all have tendencies. And what I discovered is I have a tendency to think kind of in the black and white. One day it's, this is never going to end. This has gone wrong. I'm going to have to call the surgeon next day. Wow, I am doing great. Well, there's probably a few days in between there, but I was, for the first couple of weeks, I was very grateful for medication. I tried a little bit to back off and got out of the rhythm of the pain meds, and quickly learned that I have to listen to my husband when he says, "Take your pain medications." He could tell when I was trying to do this on my own. I can do this. I can't do this. And it's to a point where now where my knee is very stiff, still. Doing my PT really well. I probably have one more, maybe two, they said, of my PTs. I've been hitting all the marks, which is great. So, gonna see the surgeon one more time on Tuesday, and he will let me know if I need to continue or not. But I'm done with the opioids. It's interesting to for me to see, because I did not recognize it before, and how quickly I draw conclusions and try to and move forward from there. Quickly want to start planning for this is how it's going to be, and this is what I need to do to fix it, or this is what I need to do to avoid, or this is what I need to get more. Da 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 da. And I just found this really fascinating, and I'm really grateful for the practice, because finding it f fascinating as opposed to what the f heck am I doing? Why I should be better than this? That didn't occur to me, because I can take it as I can hear Lung Por Pasano telling me, just be patient, stay with it. Don't add to it, and so all these teachings are would come back, and I could see in relief that I was doing what I was doing that was adding to pain. So there were periods of time in the within the first couple of weeks where I literally felt I couldn't bear this. I can't do this. I can't bear it. It's too painful. And then of course, practice comes in. But what does that mean, you can't bear it? It means I'm scared that this might not end. I want it to end. I want this to be over. I want, yes, that's wanting something that's actually not present right now. Now, relax. Relax the body. I don't want to be in the body. Okay, that's just the mind being scared. But while I'm spinning, while the mind is spinning and I'm starting to follow it, like I mean, it's so easy to recognize that you can't escape this. There's nothing you can do to escape this. And while the mind is, running around trying to avoid the pain, the body is actually enduring. It's actually being present. It's actually and going to this place of this is how it is right now. And not following, not neglecting that the mind is has a habit of being scared right now, and for good reason. And then my heart wants to pick that up and run with it. Separating those two, that's just the mind. Its duty is to protect this body, and it doesn't know what else to do. But the heart can actually be present with this is painful, and this is the way it is. There's nothing to be frightened about. And I just found this really fascinating that how often my mind wanted to just nail down this is we got to do something about this, and then how I would start to get nervous and afraid. And it's like it's just separate these out. I'll see if I can explain this with an example. I used to ride horses. And one day when I arrived at the stable, my trainer decided to put me on the stud horse, a gorgeous, huge horse. And just the idea that this was a stud was frightening to me. But I'd been riding for quite some time. And so I got on it and we were in the arena and okay, this is fine. Wow, this beautiful canter. And then she decides, okay, we're going to go out onto the road. And okay, I don't know if I can do that. You can do this. You know how to do this. Just relax. And again, relax the body. You're indicating to the horse if there's anything to be nervous about. So if you're nervous, that horse is going to be looking for something to be nervous from about. So it's just like the mind. The mind starts saying, I'm nervous. This is not right. This is we got to run. We've got to fix things. What are we going to do about this? And the heart begins to flutter like, I don't know. What do we do? It starts to get scared. It contracts. It's no longer as available to the present moment because it's like, what are we going to do? So going back to the horse simile, we go out into the road, we're walking down the road, and probably, and it's just a straight, very straight road. A quarter of a mile down the road, a semi truck turns onto the road, and so I know it's coming toward us. And I tense up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is in my truck. I don't know what this horse is gonna do. And the horse starts, oh my gosh, what's wrong? What should we be nervous for? Oh, there's a truck. Yeah, there's a truck. What do we do? What are you gonna do? I don't know, what should we do? And it's starting to prance, and the trainer just yells at me, calm down. You're squeezing your legs, you're telling that horse to be nervous. And then I just totally got it. And the horse was like, yeah, it was a truck, so what were you worried about? I was worried about you. I'm not doing anything. So excuse me. These two can live together, we can accept that the mind has a ten has tendencies out of our habitual way of responding to the world, greatly influenced by the way we were brought up, greatly influenced by our environment. So finding ways to place ourselves in atmospheres that bring us a sense of safety is really important, is really beneficial, because we can then remember when we're not in a place where, we're at work and somebody says something crude to us, and we just like tense up. We can remember that there is safety. I know what safety feels like. I can go, my heart is safe. I don't have to tense up. I don't have to defend myself to this person who's obviously themselves suffering, or they wouldn't be saying something nasty. I don't have to defend myself. I can actually be kind. I can be kind to this person. I was talking to somebody recently. Alistair was actually sharing with me this morning about his work, and there's a particular person that was very spiky, just kind of naturally defensive around people. Her job was incredibly stressful and was in an area where people brought lots of complaints. And this put her on the edge, and so she was hypersensitive to other employees that would pop by and say something, or things that she needed from their particular area that would help her get through her day. So she wasn't very skillful. She was constantly living on this edge of, I'm uncomfortable, people are angry, I need your help, give it to me right now, just give me that and walk away. And so Alistair was saying he took from his practice, the Buddhist teachings, he took this as an opportunity to, like, I'm just going to give her three interactions with me where I'm not going to respond to her from a place of her spikiness, but from a place of, I know that, as if she was being gentle and, appropriate and kind. So that he could then respond to her in a very kind way. And so he did this three times. And then on the fourth time, and he's just walking through the store, she passes him, and to his surprise, hey, Alistair! And she's always been, friendly to him since. And this is the impact we can have on people when we don't make them into a person who's making us suffer, even if they're having an unskillful moment or they're personally suffering, but rather recognize that this person is having a bad day or that we have no idea what's going on for them. I know sometimes I've been in meetings where somebody will look at me with a frown, and I'll like, what's going on? Are they upset with what I just said? Or, and it's like, rather than feel like I need to defend myself, I can, like, oh, that person must have gas, or maybe they have indigestion, or something's up with them, but not taking it personally because it really isn't actually personal. It's about them as opposed to us. So, when we can find ourselves in an environment where we feel safe, people around us are kind and gentle, it helps us get in touch with that beautiful heart. I listened to a talk by Ajahn Sucitto recently, and he talked about how when our heart responds to unwholesomeness that's going on in the mind, fear, greed, anger, any of that, when the heart starts to respond to it, it constricts. When it responds to kindness and goodwill, compassion, it opens up. It floods the entire body. That energy goes beyond us. It also touches people around us. That's one of the beautiful things I feel about coming back into a community that I've been gone from for 8 weeks, is I come back in here and it's full of people that are making the effort to be kind, to understand what it means to be kind, to understand the benefits that it is for us individually, internally, understanding the benefits of kindness and understanding our responsibility for when we suffer. It's on us, it's on me, It's not on you. When I suffer, it's not on you, no matter what you're doing. Yelling at me, accusing me. If I'm suffering over it, which I would, believe me, if you started to yell at me, I'd probably suffer a little bit. But the practice can kick in. That's, it's not my problem. Now, if I think I said something that was offensive, I could inquire. So this brings up curiosity and compassion as opposed to defensiveness. So defensiveness is a way of contracting, and then we're not available for those around us. When we contract, we lose our ability to be curious. What is going on? Curiosity is incredibly important. Patience, incredibly important. And this is what we're doing here. We're coming into an environment where we can see where our limits are. Oh, I'm being defensive. And in that, I'm not being curious at all. What might be going on for that person? Or did you understand what I said? Or what do you think I just said? Or what are you saying? Or any of that kind of th curiosity, as opposed to defensiveness. I had a couple of, I had, th I think it was about 3 days in a row where I was so worn down that, before I got there, I had several days in a row where I was just like, watching news. What's going on in the news? So I'm watching the news and I'm not sleeping well, so I watch the news. I'm trying to avoid the
This is bad.
yeah, I know it was bad. And the result of that, so I'm not really paying attention to what I'm filling up my mind and how my heart's responding. But I was on a lot of pain meds, so I didn't have a lot of wisdom, wasn't in the forefront all the time. But anyway, so, and it ended up that when I would fall asleep for about 3 nights in a row, when I'd fall asleep, I would be dreaming that I was in war, that people were protesting, that I was in, it's just like, I never have bad dreams. I'm just like, and so I was confused even in my dream. What in the heck? But it was such an uncomfortable feeling. And it tainted my entire day. And I began to think, I think I can't handle this. I don't think I can do this. I think I'm losing the plot. This is when I started to realize about that black and white thinking. I just like this is so uncomfortable. This has been 3 days, and it took several hours of the first full day where this was, because it was such a different experience for me. My world is not like this, and like this weird fear, hide, run, avoid kind of feeling that was just like nonstop. And I was just like, I think I'm losing it. I don't think I can handle this. And then I heard that as, the teaching's kicking in again, is I can hear this. I don't like this. It shouldn't be like this. I should be able to do better, but I'm not doing better. Therefore, if I'm not doing better, I may never do better. I might be losing my mind. Literally, this was going through my mind. And then I started to get fear started to ramp up around the amount of pain that I was having, and I was just exhausted with, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, and that's where I started to re where I recognized what I'm saying to myself about the present moment has nothing to do with the present moment. I'm actually not losing my mind Am I losing my mind right now? No, I'm actually aware of all this garbage going on, this discomfort that's going on, this fear that's present, the pain that's present. Okay, I'm aware of all of that. And while I'm aware of it, there's nowhere to go. I can't run from it. I can't run. I can barely get out of the bed. Have you ever tried to run with a walker? You don't get very far. So this was fairly early on. But it's like, it doesn't, what I'm telling myself doesn't make sense. There's nothing, there's no choice, there's no option but to endure. And as soon as I recognized this, my heart was so grateful for these teachings. And as soon as I felt grateful for these teachings, I was flooded with a sense of joy for the teachings, for all these years of practice, for this sangha, for the monastics that come to visit us, for all of this. Because I might have followed my mind. And I think you have to convince yourself that you're going crazy in order to actually, go over the edge. Yeah, you have to think you're really doing that. But with this training and this teaching, you just can't get that far. Or well, I just felt like I couldn't get that far. That didn't make sense. I don't have an option but to feel, to experience this pain. And when you can, when I could accept that this was the way it, this is the way it is, and felt the joy of being present because of the teachings and, and my teacher Lumpur Pasano and the Buddha, and that pain was like, yeah, it was unpleasant. Yeah, it's really painful, but it wasn't heavy anymore. It wasn't, it was just unpleasant. I mean, incredibly unpleasant, but big deal. So the comparison of following the fear and believing that I have no option but to lose my mind here because I can't handle it, to being appreciative, grateful, joyful for the practice that tells you that's not true. You don't have to follow. The comparison is just night and day. So since that time, I haven't felt afraid of the pain. That doesn't mean that I still don't, I would still, well, I guess what would happen is, what had happened is I could see more clearly then how my black and white thinking works. So now I'm not afraid of the pain, which means I could move through my exercises better. I could challenge myself harder. And so I go into my third week, go into my PT, and I did really well. Supposed to have range of motion of 120 by your fifth, sixth week, and I got it at 3 weeks. 120. Yeah, so I even did a high five. I felt really good. And I said, let's go for 130 next week. And she goes, really, 120 is fine. But I was determined, that was me. I'm doing great. I'm gonna hit 130 next week. That was my thinking. Wasn't paying attention to the present moment. It was diving in and running off with, now what can I do? Next week, 115, because I really overdid and my knee was swollen. And then I was like, I can't do this. I'm not gonna make it. I'm never going to hit that goal again. So it's just like, so I started to see, oh my gosh, I'm actually believing this stuff. And I really was believing it. I thought 1 week, I've got this down. I'm going to hit 130 next week. They're all going to be really impressed with me. I'm really impressed with me, so I'm sure they'll be impressed. And then when I got only 115, I was just like so depressed. I was just like, what's wrong? Am I ever going to get it again? Is this normal? Does everyone go up and down, or is it just me? And it's like, it just Settle down. Are you measuring yourself at home? Oh yeah, every day. I'm only hitting 110. And he goes, throw that measure tape away. So I quit measuring myself because it's really difficult to measure your own self anyway. So next week, 119, and in my mind, that still wasn't good enough. But I can see it now. I can, and so that's a point of my practice at this time, is to recognize when I start following this, it's like this, and so I'm going this way, or it's like this, and now I'm going this way, and it's always going to be this. So looking at my black and white thinking, which I have never seen so clearly before, this painful challenge and the way I was handling it. But the great news is, not only did I hit 124 last week, but that I can address this now. I see it, and that's what's lovely about this practice is, and doing this work within a community, everyone's working on something, the right effort of accepting our when we see, when we experience our defilements, accepting that, well, here's one I can work on, and being happy about the fact that we see it so we can work on it. And then when we're in groups of people, these things come up. We can see how we're trying to impress somebody, or we're comparing ourselves with somebody. They're doing this. I really should be doing better than that. Whatever our opinions are and whatnot, as opposed to following our thinking mind, we want to pay attention to the way it affects our heart and let the heart steer the mind into a place of goodwill, as opposed to the mind bringing the heart down. But we need to recognize that, because we can, with our heart, we can live in a kind world. We can, by our own efforts of responding to the world with kindness and recognizing our own limits. So I got to see a lot of my own limits in while I was healing. I'm really grateful for that, just as we can be through this practice that the monastics have been making available to us. So I hope that made sense to everybody. It's been quite a challenging week. I'm very, very happy to be back. We have a couple of minutes, Jessica. Would you like to share anything? She's been on vacation.
Yeah, it's really good to be back. Right before we went on vacation, I went with my husband and kids to New Zealand for a couple of weeks. And right before we went, I got word that I was going to be able to go on a retreat in May. And I told my husband, but I didn't tell my kids. And then we went and I came back, and now I'm sort of preparing for that period. And I told my daughter, and she were pretty attached. She was like, no. And I said, yes, I'm going on a retreat. I'll be gone for a week. And she said, but we just had a vacation, Mom. You don't need to go on retreat. And I said, well, that was not the vacation that my heart needs. That was really fun, and travel is really important. And it was good for our family, and there was a lot of novelty and excitement and beauty. And this is what feeds me, and this is what I love. So it was an interesting kind of exercise to explain to her that that was a vacation, know, for my senses and for my family and, you know, for educational purposes and for experiences. And now I'm going to take a vacation from my senses and, you know, from the novelty and from the busyness. And that'll have a different impact. So it was just kind of a different way of looking. I've always loved travel and I've always loved retreats, you know. but it was interesting to kind of dig into why they're different and how getting away isn't the same as a coming back to. I enjoyed my time away and I enjoyed my time with family, but this is, I don't love anything more than talking about and experiencing and practicing the Dhamma with other people. This is the best, you know, thing I do. It's lovely to be back, and it was a nice synchronicity that you were able to be here today as well. So I didn't expect that, and it's really nice to see you here. So I'll just leave it at that.